Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and looks like it's just going to be me today. Dan actually decided to go to his nephew's high school football game. It's that time of year here. So you're just hanging out with me, the Big Jack. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of them tomorrow morning. It will definitely be up there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that, well, I'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. I'm sure you know that all by now if you've listened before. You can also find me on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime. That's BurkTime on the Twitterverse there. So let's jump in with the FanDuel right away. I did a little better yesterday. I managed to score 132 points, but I'm just not racking up the kind of point totals I need to win. I got to get back in the 160s, 170s. You know, I know big time in those free rolls, man, you need almost 300 points. I'd love to know where the hell those guys are getting it from. But I pumped out a free roll tonight, and we can go a little more in depth since Dan's not here. But there were some really interesting pitching matchups. Jacob DeGrom is right at the top of the board. Now, he'll cost you $10,200. You know, I could understand if you want to go that route, but I wasn't really sold on him against the Nationals. Interestingly, though, I believe Ryan Zimmerman, Anthony Rendon, and I think I saw Howie Kendrick are all out of the lineup against DeGrom today. So maybe it's a little better matchup, but there's also some rain in the forecast there in Washington. I don't know how serious of a threat it'll be, but, you know, if you just get one delay, that just kills your starting pitcher. But I can understand if you went that route. If you go with Justin Verlander, I understand $9,900. He's pitching against the White Sox. I think it's going to go one of two ways for Verlander tonight. Either he's just going to throw a gem and he's going to put up double-digit strikeouts and he's going to be the pitcher to have on FanDuel, or he's just going to be a little overhyped from all the crap yesterday. And he's just going to have a dog outing, and he's not even, you know, he's going to go five or six and give up five or six, and it's just going to be a bust. So I stayed away from him. Zach Greinke is here at 9,600. I was kind of leaning for this matchup because he's going against the Giants, but I ended up going a different way. But like I said, I definitely could see you using Zach Greinke. Jose Quintana's getting a start for the Cubs. He's 8,900. Definitely another very good option against the Phillies team that, you know, hasn't been very good. They do surprise every now and then, but I could understand that. Now, this is where I settled. There were a couple options I looked at. I went with Kenta Maeda for $8,700. Now, he's actually pitching against a pretty good Brewers team, but, you know, the Brewers have really struggled on this West Coast trip. I believe they lost 2 out of 3 to the Giants. You know, if for whatever reason, and I don't know why it happens, but teams get out west and they just really scuffle. And I think Maeda is solid enough to get me a win and a quality start. And I'm hoping he can pick up 5 or 6 strikeouts. And this way I didn't top out on my pitcher value. And I was able to go after some of the other guys I was really looking at. But yeah, those are the top of the board guys. There are some other, you know, definitely interesting matchups here on the board. Rick Porcello is right under my Ada at $8,300. Now, he's pitching against Baltimore. You know, you would like to think the Red Sox offense would get to Baltimore. Their starting pitching is really scuffled, And I'm actually looking to see who is starting for Baltimore tonight because I don't know off the. Oh, it's Jeremy Hellickson. So it could be a decent matchup there. But I could understand, you know, if you pump Porcello in for that kind of money, hope, and, you know, again, you're looking for a win and a quality start. Interestingly, Adam Conley is getting the start for the Marlins tonight. He's $8,100. Now, he's going against the Padres, who are, you know, a little better than late, but he's coming off a really big outing against the Mets. 11 strikeouts, only one earned run. He racked up 61 FanGraphs points. You know, and I know it's hard to say a starting pitcher has momentum because they only pitch every 5 or 6 days now. But, you know, if you believe in that, maybe he's a guy, you know, you're looking at. We slide down the board a little bit. Now, this is an interesting one. Michael Wacha is 7,400. He's pitching at home against Tampa Bay. The Rays will strike out. You know, the problem with Wacha, and, you know, you just never know, is he going to get you that sixth inning that, you know, it's kind of like, man, you know, can he get there? I mean, this is one of those opportunities where if he could somehow give you 7 or 8, he could get to double-digit strikeouts and be a real steal at $7,400. But, you know, there's also an opportunity that he gets to 5 innings and he's at 105 pitches and they're taking him out of the game. So I just couldn't buy in on him. Chad Bettis is getting the start for the Rockies tonight. You know, he's a fantastic story coming off the cancer recovery. They're in Atlanta, though, which is probably just about as good a hitting park as Colorado. But, you know, his two starts, he's been really solid. He put up 34 and 31 points. You know, if you think you're going to get another outing like that and you can pick the right hitters, you know, maybe he's a guy to build around. Parker Bridwell is getting a start for the Angels tonight. Now, he is facing an Astro lineup that is pretty tough. So, maybe that'll keep people away from him. Jason Vargas is kind of in the same boat. He's only $6,700, but he's facing a really, really tough Cleveland lineup tonight. You know, for whatever reason, they're the only team that seems to be able to rock Chris Sale when it comes to it. Ariel Miranda is getting the start for the Mariners. And I said, oh, yeah, why would you ever consider starting this guy? He's in another one of those situations where, you know, he's 6,700 and CC is 6,500. He's getting the start for the Yankees, as well as Miguel Gonzalez fits into this, too, at $6,600 for the White Sox. You know, after all the kind of scrum and BS and garbage from yesterday, you don't really know how the Yankees and Tigers are going to react. If you think they're going to react negatively, well, then guys like Miranda and Gonzalez could be really good steals down here. You know, if they think they're going to react positively, CeCe could be a big deal. If he can, again, you know, you're looking for that six innings, you're looking for that quality start. You know, if you think he can hold a Mariner offense down, you know, I know it's FanDuel. There's a lot of big ifs everywhere. It just kind of depends on, you know, who or what you're looking for. So, you know, if you're interested, Bartolo Colon's making the start for the Twins tonight in Toronto. You got to love Bartolo Colon, right? So, you know, there was some, I saw a rating where, I'm trying to remember where the heck, I don't remember if I picked it up on Mr. Fantasy Favorite site or not, but there were a projection that the Royals were going to score the lowest run total tonight. One of the Vegas sites had it. Now, they're facing the Indians. Ryan Merritt is pitching for the Indians tonight, or at least he's getting the start. You know, if you believe in the odds like that, it could be a plus for you. Of course, the only problem is Merritt's only appeared in 3 games this season, and he hasn't pitched more than 4 innings. It's only $5,500, but, you know, I guess if you're the big time gambler, you know, that's where you go and you're kind of buying the hype there. But you know, that I couldn't do it. I thought about it. I looked at it. I just couldn't pull the trigger. So I settled on Kenta Maeda for $8,700. That's where I am. Let's move over to catcher. No surprise, Gary Sanchez is at the top of the board here. Yes, he was suspended today. We'll get to that if we have a chance, but, they're all appealing. $4,000 for Sanchez. Yadier Molina comes in next at $3,700. You got Yasmani Grandal at 34. Alex Avila, or excuse me, Avila, however they're pronouncing it now. He's still Avila to me. comes in at 3,100, and there's a little group here at 3 grand. We've got Tyler Flowers, Wellington Castillo, Tom Murphy, Kurt Suzuki, Tony Walters, and I don't know why they list Wilson Contreras since he's on the DL. Sadly, out of that group, only Castillo and Suzuki are starting, so obviously stay away from the other guys. I went with the complete money-saving aspect to this here. I just wanted to save some money at catcher. I wasn't really interested. You know, if you're going to spend the $4,000 on Gary Sanchez, I get it. The guy's been just, just raking. So, I can completely understand you're going to go that route. He's got a really good matchup against Ariel Miranda. Let me see. Yeah, Sanchez's last three FanDuel point days. Yesterday was 28-2. Before that, it was 31-9. And then before that, it was 47-4. So he was probably pretty sorry to see that Tiger series end, even with the fight and all the other BS that went with it. So I can understand if you want to try to jump on the hot guy and hope he's going to continue and, that kind of stuff. I just went down and I was looking for a guy in the middle of the order to possibly get me some runs if his team's going to score. And I found Kevin Smith hitting fifth for the White Sox tonight at only $2,200. So I'm hoping to pick up a little bit of value here. Now, I know it's a tough matchup against Verlander and, but when, when you can get a middle of the order guy for $2,200, it's not too bad. He had a solid day yesterday, 15.7 points. If he could get anywhere close to that again, or even if he just gets into double digits, I will take that for $2,200. So, that's, kind of how my catching shopping went. There were some other guys down, the lower guys out of the lineups that came out. Let me see if I can hunt a couple down, and I'll tell you why I didn't go with them. 2,100, you got Jose Lobaton in the Nationals lineup, Mitch Garver in the Twins lineup, Martin Maldonado in the Angels lineup, and Nick Hundley in the Giants lineup tonight. Basically, I stayed away from them all because none of them are hitting higher than 7. So I just, Hundley and Garver are hitting 7th, and Maldonado and Lobaton are hitting 8th. So I kind of wanted the opportunity where if it goes kind of goes around, you can get the chance that the guy gets the extra at bat. So because that's always a big plus. I enjoy, taking a chance with those extra at bats. Also, at $2,200 where I got Smith, I passed on Francisco Cervelli and Jorge Alfaro. He's catching for the Phillies tonight, or he's in the Phillies lineup. I don't know if he's catching. Cervelli's hitting 7th. He was a little interesting because they're in Cincinnati, and, that's a fantastic hitter's park. I actually have another Pirate and 2 Reds in my lineup because I like the matchup there very much. Alfaro, I didn't know much about. He's only played 9 games, and if he was hitting higher in the lineup, I would have looked at him. The other $2,200 guys I passed up on, Travis Denald, he's hitting 6th in that lineup. He was the other guy I considered here, but, there's that rain in the forecast, and I just didn't want to take my chances. And then there's Yan Gomes at $2,200, and Yan just hasn't had enough of a year to even look at. Possible guy if you're, if you're buying this, Jonathan LaCroix is hitting 7th in the Rockies lineup. Now, again, they're in Atlanta. So, that's a really good place to hit. So I can understand if you want to plug in those guys and kind of run with it and take your chances. But like I said, I was looking for a guy hitting a little higher in the order. Guys like that, like Miguel Montero, is hitting 5th for the Blue Jays tonight. He'll only cost you $2,300. But then you don't really find a middle of the order guy. Victor Martinez is hitting 6th. He's at $2,500. Wilson Ramos is 5th at $2,700. You can get Mike Zunino for that price hitting 6th. You can also get Chris Iannetta is hitting 2nd for the Diamondbacks if you're buying, buying that tonight. He's $2,700. I know they're facing Ty Black. As the prices get higher, JT Realmuto's had a really good year. He's in the 5th hole for the Marlins. I almost called them the Miners. Good Lord. He's at 2,800, along with Buster Posey, who's in the cleanup spot for the Giants. You know, I probably would have went that route, but, you know, it's Zach Greinke. I just don't want to deal with that. You just never know when the Giants are going to get anybody on base. So, you know, those are some of the guys. You know, as you get higher up, the middle of the order becomes more prevalent. You know, you can also go the other way. Walt Wellington Castile's actually hitting eighth, and he's, you know, he's up towards the top. So let's slide over to first base here. A lot of big money guys here. Anthony Rizzo and Joey Votto at the top for 45. Paul Goldschmidt and Freddie Freeman for 43. And then at $4,000, you got Edwin Encarnacion. You also have Cody Bellinger, but obviously, you know, he's on the DL. You're not playing him. So those are interesting. I worked my way down the board a little bit. And again, this is where I looked at the ballpark as being a good place to hit. And Josh Bell is down here at $3,500. He's hitting cleanup for the Pirates tonight. You know, he's got 21 bombs on the year. Now, I know he scuffled his last couple games. I believe he had a day off earlier in the week. So I'm hoping, you know, it's a change of ballparks. They're going, you know, and they're not playing the Dodgers anymore. They're coming out to face the Reds. I'm hoping he can go back on that hot streak. And, you know, basically, you know, I'm looking for a home run out of Josh Bell tonight for $3,500. You know, if you're going to hit home runs, you know, where do you want to hit them? Colorado, Cincinnati, Atlanta, you know, the ball flies out of those places. So, you know, you definitely kind of hunt that down, and that's where I settled. Now, if you're looking, you know, on the cheap, but again, this isn't something, I don't think we've ever advocated this for first baseman as a whole, but Tyler Moore is hitting sixth for the Marlins today. He's down here at $2,000. It is a rarity to find these guys down here, but John Jaso is also down here, $2,200, sixth for the Pirates. Tommy Joseph, $2,500, hitting fifth for the Phillies. I got to see, is Joseph a lefty or a righty? That's what my concern would be there. He is right-handed, so that's something you could possibly look at against Quintana tonight. Matt Olson is down here for the A's. He's hitting seventh. He's at 2,600. If you like, now this was another interesting one. Dominic Smith in the Mets lineup for $2,700. He's hitting fifth. He's shown some really good power, but you know, again, I'm dealing with the fact that, you know, it was going to rain. I thought about taking the chance, but I had a little money and I really like the Bell matchup. So, you know, you can find some guys down here, you know, like Mark Reynolds is down here at $3,000. That's a pretty solid choice. You know, if you're looking for a big power guy on the cheap, I guess you would call it. You know, you got guys like Napoli, Pujols, and Miggy are at $3,300. So CJ Cron, if you're buying the, you know, his hot streak going to continue. I mean, he was lights out, you know, how long ago. So, you know, but let's not spend too much time there. Let's get on over to second base so we can kind of move on. Jose Altuve at the top for $4,300. He's day-to-day with a neck injury. They don't have him listed in the lineup, so you got to check that out. Brian Dozier at $4,100. Robinson Cano at $3,900, but I see he's not in the Mariners lineup tonight. Ian Kinsler at $3,800 and Jonathan Scope at $3,700. You know, all solid choices, obviously, if they're in the lineup. You know, that's why you're paying this kind of money for them. I went down just a tad, and I found Edwin Nunez leading off for the Red Sox tonight at $3,400. I'm a kind of a sucker for those leadoff hitters. You know, I fall into this trap a lot with this, and I like Nunez. He's played really well since arriving in Boston, and I like the matchup. Jeremy Hellick, since Nunez will hit left-handed. You got to hope things work out for me is what I'm kind of saying. So we'll kind of see how that goes. Let me see if we can find any, I like to go down to the bottom here and see if there's any guys I think could be potential steals. You know, I mean, you guys know who the hot guys are and stuff. So, I did see, Danny Espinosa got signed by the Rays today and he's in their starting lineup playing secondary. He's listed as second baseman. $2,000. Gavin, how did we pronounce this guy's name? Boy, the Mets are just going so young. Cicchini, or however, I botched that one. He's down here at $2,000. They're both hitting eighth. Maybe, a guy like this you want to take a chance on. Alan Hansen is down here for $2,200, and he's going to lead off for the White Sox. Again, I know it's a difficult, difficult matchup against Verlander. But, like I said, that could go the other way. Another guy high up in his team's lineup, Adrian Sanchez, is hitting second for the Nationals tonight. Again, another tough matchup against Jacob deGrom, so I could understand the positives and the negatives of getting the extra at bat there and then not wanting it. Maybe this one is more to your liking. Carlos Azuja is in the second spot for the Padres today. Now, he's just $2,600. I believe he's just coming off a hitting streak that ended, or maybe that was, I thought it was last week. But, he had a really good night last night. He's put up two 15-point games in his last three starts. So if you're thinking maybe he's onto something there, in that two-hole, you can find those guys. Starlin Castro's back for the Yankees, if you like that tonight. Thank you, Starlin. Jose Ramirez has really slipped. Remember when he was at the top of the board? He's back in the second baseman rankings now. He's third in the Indians lineup, and he's only $2,700. So, maybe that appeals to you. Some of the other guys higher in the order, D. Gordon at $3,000. Of course, he's leading off. DJ LeMahieu at $3,100. He's hitting second. Scooter Jeanette at $3,100. He's hitting fifth. And then Daniel Murphy here at $3,200. If you're buying that, he's hitting third for the Nationals tonight. But as we go up, you've seen these guys, and we've talked about these guys a lot. Excuse me, I better grab a quick drink here before I start hiccuping all over us. Oh, that would be ridiculously bad. Oh, okay, let's hope that clears it up and we can make it through as we move on to third base. You got Chris Bryant, Adrian Beltre, and Josh Donaldson will all cost you $4,300. And then Nolan Arenado and Manny Machado will cost you $4,200. I went here. This is my first Tiger in my lineup tonight. I'm going with, Nicholas, as they have him listed here, but we just kind of call him Nick. Nick Castellanos for $3,000. He's hitting fifth for them. It's solid projections. The Tigers should score some runs against Miguel Gonzalez, or at least I think they will. God forbid I end up eating that later, as that ends up being my downfall because I have two of them in my lineup. But yeah, I just like the matchup. I like the fact that he's in a run producing spot on a team that you would like to think will score some runs tonight. So I kind of penciled that in there, and that's why I went that route. So I'm hoping, this kind of works out. But yeah, if you want to spend money up the board, there's never a complaint. But going down the board, maybe you like Tyler Saladino. He's hitting second for the White Sox tonight. Pablo's in the lineup for the Giants. Maybe you go that route. This could be a money saver for you, possible guy here. Asdrubal Cabrera is hitting cleanup for the Mets tonight. He's only $2,400. That could be another one of those sneaky guys if you think the Mets are going to score. Evan Longoria still way down the board if you're buying that. He's hitting third in the Rays lineup tonight for $2,800. Brandon Phillips a little higher up the board, $3,200, but he's hitting second. He's been hot for the Braves. I'm surprised they haven't moved him, I'm surprised they keep him at third base. Well, I guess he has been playing there quite a bit. Another guy who's been hot, if you're buying this, I know it's a lefty-lefty matchup, but Corey Seager is $3,500, hitting cleanup for the Mariners. He's been really good as of the past week. So, maybe you're kind of buying that kind of matchup. So, all right, let's move over to shortstop here really quickly as we get rolling along. Francisco Lindor and Corey Seager are at the top of the board at $3,700. Elvis Andrus is at $3,600. And, God, I really wish FanDuel would take the DL guys out of here. At $3,500, you're looking at Paul DeJong, Tim Beckham, and Didi Gregorius. I went just a tad lower than that. I stayed right outside the top five. I'm going with Zach Cozart tonight of the Reds. He's hitting second for them. They're facing Ivan Nova. Nova's not really a strikeout guy, so guys are going to get balls in play. I have a second Red in my lineup. I went with Adam Duvall as their cleanup hitter, as one of my outfielders. So I'm hoping Cozart gets on and Duvall drives him in is kind of what my plan is here. Again, who knows if it's gonna work or what if I'm again if I'm gonna be talking. Well, actually, we normally don't talk about this on Monday, but yeah, you'll know how my lineup does after the way it kind of goes here. So we'll see. But yeah, I think and obviously, like I've said 100 times now, Cincinnati's a really good place to hit. I'm going down the board here, and there really aren't any low money guys built up in the lineup. Wilmer Defoe's in a nice RBI spot for the Nationals tonight, hitting fifth, $2,500. You can get Tim Anderson or Ahmed Rosario for $2,600. Anderson's hitting sixth, Rosario's hitting second or seventh, excuse me. As you get up the board here a little more, Eduardo Escobar's in the 4 spot for the Twins. Brandon Crawford's in the 5 spot for the Giants. Maybe you're buying those. Freddie Galvis at 30, or they're both $2,800. Freddie Galvis at 3,100 is hitting second for the Phillies. If you're buying that Boston is going to produce some runs tonight, Xander Bogaerts in the 5th spot. He's at $3,200. And then at $3,300 here, you're looking at Marcus Semien is in second. Gene Segura is in the leadoff spot for Seattle, and then Andrelton Simmons has had a really good offensive year in the 5th spot. So yeah, there's some of your shortstops who are in some little better hitting positions. Let's check out the outfield here. What a surprise. Giancarlo Stanton at the very top of the board here. $5,100. You got Mike Trout for $4,900. Aaron Judge at 44. Charlie Blackman at 4,300. And Nelson Cruz rounds up the top five at 4,200. I started my outfield a little lower than this. I went with Justin Upton for $3,900. Again, I'm buying the Tigers thing. He's hitting third in their lineup tonight. So I'm just kind of buying in on the fact that I think the Tigers are going to be able to put up some runs tonight. And Upton and Castellanos are hopefully the guys driving them in. So Upton's been hot. He swung a pretty hot bat as of late. At $3,600, I mentioned I got Adam Duvall. He's hitting cleanup for the Reds. Again, I'm kind of playing him off the, Zach Cozart hitting second, Duvall hitting fourth. Big power guy. My outfielders ended up being big power guys today, and that's okay. I could use the home runs. And then I wrapped it up at $3,300. I went with Steve Pierce of the Blue Jays. He's facing Bartolo Colon, so I think he's got an opportunity to at least put the ball in play. And he's $3,300. But the thing that kind of led me down that route is he's in the leadoff spot for the Blue Jays tonight, and that really intrigued me, a power bat at the top of the order for that kind of money. So I kind of jumped on there, and I'm just going to take Steve Pierce for a ride and see how it works out. As I know, we're running out of time to get your lineup in. You only got about, probably 7 or 8 minutes to get your lineup in. Some money-saving outfielders. Jabari Blash is down here at $2,000, hitting fifth for the Padres. Maybe you're buying they're going to score. Let's see if we got some other good. Here you go. The guy's moving up the board. Juan Lagares batting second for the Mets at $2,200. Andrew Stevenson is in the leadoff spot for the Nationals at $2,200. Adam Lind's hitting cleanup for the Nationals tonight. Maybe you're in on Washington. You can get some really good value there. Brandon Nemo's leading off for the Mets. I had fantastic luck with Nemo the other day. Of course, his price was $300 less when I used him, so I'm wondering if that's why it went up. Cameron Maven leading off the Angels lineup, $2,500. That could be an interesting guy. Alex Presley hitting second for the Tigers at $2,500. Jared Parker hitting third for the Giants at $2,600. That puts him ahead of Buster Posey. Maybe he sees some good pitches to hit tonight. Steven Piscotty down here at $2,700 hitting second for the Cardinals. But if you're going to spend $2,700, you should probably just spend it on Boone Powell because he's been super hot. He's leading off for the A's tonight. Like I said, if you're going to spend the money, you might as well throw it on good old Boog. Matt Kemp is just recently off the DL. He's hitting cleanup for the Braves tonight at $2,800. Mitch Hanger is fifth for the Mariners at $2,900. Jose Perella is third for the Padres. Hunter Pence is hitting second for the Giants. They're all in that price range. Another Giant, Denard Span, leading off for $3,000. Austin Jackson for the Indians at $3,000. Another hot bat here. Byron Buxton is just $3,000. He's hitting third for the Twins tonight. $3,100, you can get Nick Williams hitting third for the Phillies. $3,200. There's quite a few guys here. Ben Zobrist leads off for the Cubs. Ender Encarnacion leads off for the Braves. Melky Cabrera's hitting third for the Royals. Adam Frazier hitting second for the Pirates. Christian Yelich hitting third for the Marlins. Billy Hamilton leading off for the Reds. So there's a lot of value right there if you're, you know, you're kind of looking for those lower price, upper part of the batting order type guys. So, you know, you can check that out. Obviously, you know, you got, you know where you're going and how it's working out. But really quick, I'll recap my lineup for you. Kenta Maeda is my pitcher. Kevin Smith of the White Sox is hitting fifth, cost me $2,200. Josh Bell of the Pirates at first base hitting fourth, cost me $3,500. Eduardo Nunez of the Red Sox leading off for $3,400. Nick Castellanos of the Tigers hitting fifth for $3,000. Zach Cozart of the Reds hitting second for $3,400. Justin Upton of the Tigers hitting third for $3,900. Adam Duvall of the Reds hitting cleanup for $3,600. And Steve Pierce of the Blue Jays leading off. Yeah, I said leading off, Steve Pierce, for $3,300. This is the forward free roll that I did here. And it looks like you got about 3.5 minutes to get your lineup set and get it in. So good luck tonight. I hope that all works out for you. And as I'm akin to doing when I'm by myself, I'm going to take a short musical break here to give my voice a little chance to recover, and then we'll get into some more sports talk.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing, go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
They got the power, they got the speed to be the best in the National League.
You guys are probably sick of me playing that when I'm looking to take a little break, but it's actually the only song we have queued up that's over a minute long, with the exception of the music we play when we're going off the air, and I don't want anybody to think I was going off the air, so my choices are fairly limited, but it's still a fun song to play. All right, well, let's get into it here. Yesterday, you know, Dan and I spent quite a bit of time talking about the three occasions where the bench is cleared in the Tigers-Yankees game. And today, Major League Baseball announced the suspensions and who was fined. The biggest guy, Miguel Cabrera, gets the biggest. Well, let me start by prefacing this. I've heard that every player is appealing their suspension. So that's why they're all in the lineups and stuff tonight. But, yeah, Miguel Cabrera, Miggy got the biggest suspension of all, 7 games. I guess I can't say I'm surprised. He was the guy who threw the first punch. So, you know, I can understand that, but I'm sure it'll come down a game or two in appeal. Interestingly, Gary Sanchez only got 4 games. There's some really good video of Sanchez taking some cheap shots. I thought he might get a little more, but he only got 4 games. Alex Wilson of the Tigers also got 4 games. He was the guy who plunked Todd Frazier when it kind of looked like things were settling down. Austin Romine got 2 games. I was a little surprised he got that. I thought maybe it was 1. But they say he got 2 games for throwing punches. Brad Ausmus, the Tigers manager, was also given a 1-game suspension. Now, he cannot appeal. He just had to serve his. Now, interestingly, let's see. All 5 players who were suspended also received undisclosed fines. They never announced what the fine is going to be. Other guys fined for this, Joe Girardi and then his acting manager, Rob Thompson, each got fined. They always get fined in association with the hit batsman. Brett Gardner and Tommy Canely got fined for the Yankees. And then Jose Iglesias picked up a fine as well, the Tigers shortstop. 2 other Yankees received fines. That would be Garrett Cooper and Clint Frazier. And the reason they received a fine is they entered the field of play while being on the disabled list. And that's a no-no, according to Major League Baseball. Interestingly enough, Michael Fulmer, the Tigers starter, who threw the first hit by pitch, he was the guy who hit Sanchez, didn't receive a suspension or a fine. There's no listing that Dellin Betances received anything. And he hit James McCann in the head, but nothing there on that. A little bit shocked that it kind of went that way. So we'll have to see how that works out. Interestingly, for the Yankees, you know, it's both their catchers, so they're probably going to have to make a call up to kind of cover that ground, but. They did say here, now this is an interesting one. Miguel Cabrera singled out Aaron Judge of the Yankees, who, again, he was not suspended or fined, but this is Miggy's quote. It says, "My point is, why are they not saying anything about Judge? He tried to hit me. He tried to hit me, go after me on the floor. They didn't suspend him. There was a lot of people going after me, and they didn't get suspended. Judge is going to get away with it. The pitchers who threw at me, he's going to get away with it too. No suspensions. That's bull." You can fill in the blank there. It's definitely an interesting ruling here on the part of baseball. There was a lot of moving pieces to this, and you got to kind of wonder how they made the decision, or they came up with these decisions. Obviously, you know they wanted to act quickly, but I'm wondering if maybe they acted too quickly and they didn't take the time to look at the idea in full here, that it could have been an even worse situation. I'm really shocked that Betances gets nothing for hitting a guy in the head. He was the guy. I didn't think it was really intentional there, but it was definitely at least a finable expense, you know, to go that route. And I just don't know if it's, if it was the right thing there. I can't really explain it or express it any more than that. I just really think there should have been at least a fine involved. not having, you know, and I can understand David Robertson not getting anything. That ball just ran in on the hands, and, you know, he definitely wasn't throwing at anybody. I don't know. Do you think it was fair? Are you buying it? Did you like the number? Did you not like the numbers? You know, did you think somebody should get more, somebody should get less? I would be interested on kind of knowing what you thought there about it, but we'll have to see how it kind of works out. But the other, interesting baseball, non-baseball story, however you want to get to it. Adam Jones goes back to Fenway Park tonight. The Orioles are playing in Boston. Now, if you remember, it was 3.5 months ago when the incredibly classless Red Sox fans taunted him racially. Sadly, there are a lot of incredibly stupid people out there, and apparently they're Red Sox fans. So hopefully they understand what they did was incredibly stupid and has absolutely no place, not only in sports, but in anywhere, right now. I mean, if you're judging somebody by color, you got bigger problems and probably shouldn't even be going to baseball games. So, figure out something to do with your life plan and get on with it. But hopefully, there's no issues tonight, and Jones go. Yeah, I'd love to see Jones go out and have a fantastic game against them. Just to kind of, I don't know. You want to call it stick it in their face, however you want to kind of look at it there. But again, you run into all walks of life. You guys know it. You run into idiots. Idiots everywhere you go. But again, let's just hope we don't have an issue. But all right, well, Dan kind of blew me off. I was counting on him to give me the breakdown for the big fight tomorrow night. We had the weigh-in. Conor McGregor came in at 153 pounds, so he just made weight. I believe 154 is the limit. Floyd Mayweather came in at 149.5 pounds. So we're all set. We're ready to go. The bets are rolling in. It's unbelievable the amount of money that is just going to be made off this fight, or just insane how this has come about and how this is working out. And I'm just kind of shaking my head and thinking how nuts this is. Now, it's scheduled for 12 rounds. I don't think anybody believes it's going to go the distance. Who knows? Maybe it will. It's kind of funny because they do a little breakdown here, and the first question they ask is, what's at stake? And the answer is, well, nothing and everything. Mayweather, of course, has his undefeated streak on the line. He doesn't want to be the guy who loses to an MMA guy in his first fight. But he is 40 years old and he hasn't fought in 2 years. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. McGregor is just 29. I did hear a story that if McGregor wins, it will legitimately destroy Las Vegas, because apparently Ireland is supporting him incredibly, and there are a lot of Irish fans laying money down on him to win. So that could be interesting. I did get a kick. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Saturday Night Live did a skit interviewing Conor McGregor. I'm not the real Conor McGregor, of course, but it was quite humorous. They did a very nice job with it. It appears that they're going to break the revenue record that the Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight set in 2015. That was about $600 million total revenue there. They broke the record for pay-per-view sales at $4.6 million. The all-time gate is $72.2 million. They also expect this fight to set the Las Vegas fight wager record. It says bookmakers are handling about $50 million in action, or they handled about $50 million in action on Mayweather-Pacquiao. This fight, they're going to handle about $10 million more. So $60 million is going to be bet on this. So that's just nuts. Unbelievable, how people are doing this. But okay, what else do we have here? Now, the fight's going to be available 200 countries and territories, as they put it here. So that will roll in everything there. It's a 9-figure paydays for both fighters. It looks like there's a chance McGregor's going to make $100 million. So, way more than he ever made in the octagon. And they've got McGregor or Mayweather pegged at right around $250 million. That's what he earned for the Pacquiao fight. They expect that to go above that, but they don't really have a guess of how much more. So look for Floyd to make another huge killing here. I guess maybe I should have went into boxing. I don't kind of know how it goes. This is the first time we've seen a true real MMA guy step into a boxing ring. We've seen boxers. I know James Toney, at least. I'm trying to think if there's any more. He was very unsuccessful in MMA. So we'll have to see how McGregor turns it around. But, here's we'll call it the tail of the tape here. I mentioned Mayweather's 40. McGregor is 29. Floyd is 49-0. McGregor is 21-3 in the octagon. Floyd has 26 knockouts in his career, but he hasn't had one since, what did I see? Was it 2000? And did I see 8 or maybe it was 12? McGregor has 18 knockouts in his UFC career. Floyd is 5'8", McGregor's 5'9". Mayweather has a 72-inch reach. McGregor has a 74-inch reach. And then stance, of course, Floyd Mayweather has the orthodox boxing stance, and McGregor is a southpaw. So he's lefty, obviously. Mayweather looking to go 50-0. Nobody's ever done it, so we'll have to see. And then the big thing that's popped up lately that everybody keeps talking about is it going to be a dirty fight? Is McGregor gonna, like they say here, use his MMA repertoire on McGregor? And, maybe throw an elbow. I would be shocked if he threw a kick because I don't think he's that stupid. So, but, McGregor does have a little reputation as being a dirty MMA fighter. And Mayweather himself has had issues. Remember, I can't remember who he punched on the break. They had the break and the guy had his gloves down and Mayweather punched him. And technically it was clean. There was nothing illegal about it. But, it was just one of those, one of those things. So we've got to see how it kind of works out. I'm going to wonder if it's a bad fight, will Mayweather try to carry McGregor to get a little more out of it? Of course that could be costly to him. Cause if he gets caught, anybody can get beat if you get caught. So, you just got to kind of wonder how it's going to work out, or, will Mayweather go for a knockout? It could be, quite interesting to see how they, how this kind of plays out. I got to tell you, I couldn't spend the money on it. There's just absolutely no way I could pay for it. It just, my roommate would probably kill me when she got the DirecTV bill and saw what I did, even though I would obviously, pay for it out of my pocket. But, I just can't do it. I'm not going to go anywhere to watch it. I'll see if, maybe somebody will stream it and I can pick it up that way, or... that kind of stuff. But I'm not paying for it. They did say the weigh-in went pretty decently compared to how these guys have been. You know, of course, there was some, you know, jawing back and forth like you would expect. And I believe the quote here is McGregor called Mayweather a broken man. So, you know, again, it's just kind of the exact stuff you would expect at a weigh-in. But in reality, you know, it's quite calm that, you know, compared to the language they've used and the racial undertones that have been going around with this. What I do find interesting is McGregor made weight, but they expect him when he rehydrates to be about 166 or 168 pounds by the time they fight. And the weight limit is one, or actually, that's the UFC's weight limit for the weight light division is 155. But yeah, that's interesting. That's a lot of weight gain. I mean, even to be rehydrating, you know, we're talking 13 to 15 pounds. But, you know, it's one of those things, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. Oh, the weight limit is 154. It's just 155 in UFC. So it's right there. But I'm just concerned that, you know, we're looking at a fight that's just going to be bad. You know, the bottom line, it's just going to be a bad fight. And, you know, I mean, the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight wasn't very good, and those were, you know, two professional fighters. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, how it works out, but I just can't. You know, if you're buying the fight, feel free to let me know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. What made you want to get it? You know, did you think it was something you couldn't miss? Just kind of explain it to me. How you ended up picking up the idea here that you went with this and this was something you wanted to do. No judgment, of course. I understand if, you know, that's the route you're going. I just couldn't, you know, I didn't buy the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. I won't buy this fight. I don't, you know, buying the pay-per-views just isn't interesting. Maybe if I had some friends and I could have a party or something and everybody kicked in a few bucks here or there, you know, I guess I just got to go out and make some friends, huh? Yeah. But, you know, good. You know, I'm picking Mayweather if you need to know. I don't think anybody cares. But I'm one of the guys who thinks it's probably going to go the distance. I somehow think, you know, they're just going to kind of do a lot of dancing and it's going to end up going 12 rounds. So, but all right. Well, you know, again, it is week 3 of the NFL preseason. The two games last night, the Eagles beat the Dolphins 38-31, and the Panthers beat the Jaguars 24-23. Two games tonight actually already started. The New England Patriots are at the Detroit Lions. I don't think there's a score in that game yet. Let me see. Oh, yeah, look at that. The first quarter, New England's up 13-0 already. So there you go. And then a little later, this game's actually going to be nationally broadcast on CBS. The Kansas City Chiefs are at the Seattle Seahawks. Again, you know, you will get to see more of the starters play than you normally would. So if you're going to watch, like I tuned in quite a bit. I wanted to see Jay Cutler play. I didn't think he looked too bad. So, I think he had one interception. And of course, you know how that goes there. Anytime Jay does anything, negative, he kind of gets drilled for it regardless. But, you know, he hit a really nice pass down the sideline to, you know, Javaris Landry that set up, was it Devontae Parker? I think it was Devontae Parker. But, you know, that set up their first touchdown. And, you know, Jay Ajayi looked good running the football. I mean, I don't know if, you know, Miami's a playoff team or, you know, how it's going to work out with Jay under center. But, you know, I don't think he's going to be the bust that maybe Bears fans are hoping for. I don't know. How do how do you kind of feel about that? I believe he was supposed to play the first half, but here it looks like he was 5 of 8 for 105 yards, and I was wrong. He didn't throw a pick. He just had the one TD. So he was sacked one time. Not too bad. I thought he had he did have a fumble that they lost. That was actually on the sack. So You know, on the other side, if you're, you know, in case you're interested, Carson Wentz was 6 of 10, 129 yards. He threw two TDs and he was picked off once. I mentioned Jay Ajayi looked good. 9 carries, 53 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You know, LeGarrette Blount only carried the ball 4 times, but he averaged 4.8 yards a carry. And it looks like Wendell Smallwood is going to get some work in the Phillies, the Eagles' backfield. God, I keep saying Phillies. He actually averaged 7 yards a carry last night. Again, he only carried the ball 4 times. So, you know, just, you know, like I said, not a bad outing. I thought Jay was going to play a little more, but, you know, that's okay. You know, we're still got another week to go. I don't know if he'll play in any of that. So, you know, interestingly, you know, the other game, Jacksonville allegedly is going with Chad Henne. You know, if you're in a fantasy league, you got to know these kind of things. He was 8 for 14 last night for 73 yards. Blake Bortles was actually 12 of 16 for 125 yards, threw a TD and a pick. Cam Newton did play, went 2 for 2 for 21 yards and threw a touchdown. So, you know, at least Cam's getting back out there. You know, Jacksonville really working on the running game, but nor Leonard Fournette. God, I forgot his name for a minute there. I'm just drawing blanks right and left. So, you know, Jonathan Stewart had a good day running the football. Christian McCaffrey had 7 carries, but only 21 yards. You know, no, obviously, you know, like Kelvin Benjamin had 4 grabs, but they were for 9 yards. No huge breakout receiving numbers like you would expect. You know, Allen Robinson caught a 37-yard pass. That was the big long of the night. So, you know, kind of the preseason stuff you expect with the, you know, except for the fact that, I thought kind of the starters were going to play longer. You know, I know they did have some news. There was a, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's appeal is underway, and they wanted, the NFL Players Association wanted to, I don't know, question his accuser, and the mediator has turned that request down. So we won't be seeing that. It's just, I guess it's just going to go as kind of a regular appeal. I don't know if that would have been a game changer or anything to it, but that just kind of worked out. And then while we were talking about the Jaguars, there were some rumors. The Jacksonville owner came out and said he'd have no problem signing Colin Kaepernick. I know we talked about it a little yesterday, Dan and I did. If they do move on from Blake Bortles, is, you know, Kaepernick that guy? You know, I mean, it's kind of an interesting scenario, but, you know, we'll just kind of have to wait and see. You know, and then, in some veteran news here, you know, the Niners, 49ers today released Ahmed Brooks, who's played nine seasons of his 11-year career in San Francisco. They're saying here that they tried to find a trade partner but couldn't do it and just had to end up releasing him. So, you know, it's always, you know, kind of the way the NFL goes. You know, the more you get up in years, it's almost regardless of who you are, you know, you're going to run out of time or longevity or however you look at it. So it looks like the clock has ended on Ahmed Brooks. Who knows? You know, maybe another team will be interested in him. He was still a pretty productive linebacker for him last year, but just, you know, just one of those fun things. So, yeah, you know, it looks like we're round. It's time to hit the music. Hey, you know, I want to thank y'all for helping me for an hour long. Well, good luck in FanDuel tonight. I hope it works out for you. But you know the deal now. Get over to sportsnumradio.com. You're going to look for that brand new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed. It's at SportsTime Radio. You can find me on Twitter as well, at BurkTime. As always, I appreciate you listening live. I really do. It's nice to come on here and do that. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com. And Mr. Fantasy and I are here Sunday at 10 a.m. Well, for 2 hours. Good Lord, 2 hours.